This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1436. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded November 26th, Reforming U.S. International Broadcasting, RFPI, RIP. New time signals from Brazil, ending English from Austria, Algeria via France, Ethiopian jamming, Damascus webcasts, RNZI at reduced power, and the propagation outlook. Here's the latest item from the website of the American Federation of Government Employees, Local 1812, representing workers at the Voice of America. Report on Al-Hurra squelched. Al-Hurra is the U.S. international television service in Arabic. ProPublica reports that the Broadcasting Board of Governors had tasked the University of Southern California's Center on Public Diplomacy with conducting a review of Al-Hurra. The study was reportedly completed in July, but the BBG, true to form, has not made the findings of the report public. BBG had reportedly even failed to provide it to the House Foreign Affairs Committee. It is important that this report be released to the public. First, it was paid for with taxpayer funds. Second, if, as we suspect, the findings show that Al-Hurra is a boondoggle, the waste of taxpayer money should be ended and the VOA Arabic service should be reestablished. Well, with a new administration coming into Washington, the U.S. Public Diplomacy Council has now published proposals for reforming international broadcasting. This report came from Media Network on November 21st. The Council has published recommendations to the new administration and Congress for an urgent reform of America's publicly funded international broadcasting. Recommended steps for the new administration include an immediate restoration of all radio services reduced at the Voice of America in fiscal year 08. The Broadcasting Board of Governors should be replaced by a new nonpartisan oversight commission that would assume more of an advisory role, leaving daily management in the hands of a commission-appointed professional CEO, the VOA director, and the presidents of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Radio Free Asia, the Middle East Broadcast Networks, that is Radio Sawa and Al-Hurra TV, and Radio TV Marti to Cuba. Through direct and public reporting on a regular basis, the commission should be accountable to the legislative and executive branches of the federal government for operations of all these networks, including program content. A long-range commitment to consolidation and integration of the networks is also called for. The CEO of International Broadcasting should immediately formulate a new strategic plan for 2010 to 2014 that would include a series of target dates for the consolidation of all five broadcast entities into a single international network. The CEO should abolish the International Broadcasting Bureau, placing its administrative functions related to VOA within VOA, as is now the case with the other four networks. An Office of Engineering and Technical Support should continue to provide state-of-the-art distribution channels for all of them. The CEO should be empowered to coordinate all program and technical operations to eliminate redundancies, cut costs, and straighten out tangled lines of authority. Maintaining, at the Voice of America, core services essential to the nation's security, a strengthened central news service, and important languages such as Arabic, Chinese, French, Persian, Russian, Spanish, and particularly our own predominant language, English. VOA Arabic should be restored immediately under this proposal. Neither Radio Sawa, despite its popularity, nor Al-Hurra TV, despite its wide availability, offers consistent authoritative news and perspective. And you should also read the comments of Kim Andrew Elliott about this at his website, www.kimandrewelliott.com. And another Media Network story, Murray Fromson, veteran journalist and professor emeritus at the USC Annenberg School for Communication, says the international buzz caused by President-elect Obama offers him an opportunity to revive what had been a valuable American resource for so many years. The reputation of the Voice of America needs to be revived and treasured, not squandered as it has been by the Bush administration for the past 8 years. He says the curiosity and excitement that followed VOA's opening music theme of Yankee Doodle Dandy almost vanished during the past 8 years. From my frequent travels around the world, I've been shocked by how negative the image of the U.S. has become. You can read his entire article at his website, MurrayFromson.com, under Fromson File. Bill Harms in Maryland says he's been hearing some VOA programming on a Washington, D.C. AM station, 1500, now called WFED, originally WTOP, but now it's the format designed for government employees. Some eyebrows are raised about VOA appearing on a domestic station, especially one in the nation's capital. But that's fine, as Kim Elliott has explained previously, as long as the station initiates relaying VOA rather than the VOA trying to find domestic stations to carry its programming. Dave France of WWRB tells us of another frequency change. The new one is 3145, far out of band, between 02 and 05 UT, carrying Brother Scare. He's now on that station 24 hours, the other frequencies being 3185, 9385, and 3215, one after another. He also claims that their new frequency 3215, used until 0200 when WWCR comes up on the same frequency, shows that WWRB's signal is better than WWCR's, although that's not the case here, where I find WWCR about 5 dB stronger. Dave explains that's all due to differences in antenna azimuths. Furthermore, the new frequency 3145 I found had rather poor modulation. Last week I had an editorial about the Fairness Doctrine. However, there was an interesting story in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, November 20th, by Jay Bookman, called The Fairness Doctrine Boogeyman. It ain't happening, says Kevin Redding, who forwarded this to the ABDX list. You might want to look up the entire article, but I'll read just a bit of it. Talk radio hosts play their listeners as well as Yo-Yo Ma plays the cello, stroking a string and making their audience respond exactly the way they want. It's bizarre how easily they can manipulate people who like to think of themselves as sturdy, independent-minded Americans. Nowhere is that more evident than in the fabricated right-wing outrage about reimposition of the Fairness Doctrine. Under that long-abandoned rule, radio and TV stations that used the public airways were required to give equal time to various sides of every political issue. The rule was well-intended, but in practical terms, radio and TV stations found it safer to avoid political discussion altogether than risk running afoul of the law. For that and other reasons, the Fairness Doctrine was abandoned more than 20 years ago, a change that quickly led to the boom in right-wing talk radio. With the Democrats in control of Congress and Barack Obama about to become president, the maestros of talk radio are eager to take advantage. They know that the more threatened their audience feels, the higher their ratings get. And what better way to get their listeners riled up than to claim that the Democrats are out to silence talk radio itself, the medium that brings conservatives the truth as they want to know it. But of course, it's all made up nonsense, backed by no evidence whatsoever. In the current issue of New Republic, Maureen Kogan goes looking for those Democrats supposedly plotting to kill talk radio, but ends up empty-handed. Obama, for example, is on the record as very clearly opposing a new Fairness Doctrine. Here's an update on the situation at CFRX Toronto 6070, which was reactivated on shortwave a few months ago after a few years off. But since it came back, it's become virtually inaudible. Steve Canny, with the Ontario DX Association, who's the QSL manager for CFRX, says, I was at the site today, November 11th, and met up with the engineer, Ian, who was working on something unrelated to shortwave. With regard to the present poor signal of CFRX, one reason is the transmitter is only operating at 250 watts due to a problem with one of the internal power supplies already. So he was waiting for a technician to come up from the U.S. to replace the supply and adjust it. It's on, but limping at low power. Chip W9EBE replied, "Let's keep our collective fingers crossed. Power issues aside, I hope the modulation can be set closer to 100%. It has a decent signal in Illinois, but sadly the audio is sorely lacking." Steve replies to that, "I'm not sure whether the power supply problem is related or not to the modulation level, but the tech should make sure everything is humming nicely once he gets there." More reports of XQM in Merida, Yucatan are coming in on 6105. Jose Elias Diaz Gomez in Venezuela says he was hearing it between 2330 and midnight 15 UT with commercials and Technocumbia music. "I also heard it, which seems to be the best time for me, but I'm not sure it's on the air every day, around 1345 UT, November 20th. It was all in Spanish with ads for businesses in Merida and other cities of Yucatan, including one which seemed to supply everything from nurses to refrigerators, although possibly I misunderstood something. That's quite a broad range of goods and services." Bob Wilkner in Florida measured it on 6104.9, and it was rather distorted, although I don't find it quite that low. It's slightly below 6105, and I guess it varies. He was hearing it between 1230 and 1600 UT, well in the daytime, being pretty close to it in South Florida. Scott Barber in New Hampshire had it from 1117 to 1130, but it was very poor with lots of band noise. And Mark Schiffelbein in Missouri reports it November 25th at 1219 UT. Past 1230 with a program called En Contacto, a news program with a female announcer and frequent commercial breaks, and with correspondents phoning in. Some interference from probably Taiwan. "For the past few weeks, I've been concerned that the webpage of Radio for Peace International, www.rfpi.org, had not been updated since September. They used to update it every quarter with their program schedule, make the time shifts, and perhaps some changes in programming, because Radio for Peace International has continued as a web station following its demise about 5 years ago on shortwave in Costa Rica. But now the audio links no longer work. So I inquired of Franklin Cyberling, who's in contact with the former staff of RFPI. He says James Latham now coordinates volunteers working with inner-city youth in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. Gene Parker, who used to host Disability Radio Worldwide, is a stringer for NPR and other broadcasters in Pune, India. Joe Bernard, last I heard, was in computer recycling in Oregon." And then we heard from James Latham himself. He says the online activity never brought the station's listeners up to the level of what it had been on shortwave. "I think that says a lot about shortwave broadcasting. Due to listenership levels, it became less and less viable. It was sad to stop, but hard to justify so much time placed into it with so few listeners. We do plan on keeping the memory of RFPI alive." And they're currently discussing maintaining the website, at least for historical purposes. "As you may recall, we were very much involved with Radio for Peace International, and they carried World of Radio during their entire existence, as well as on the webcast which follows. So our best wishes to all the people once involved with Radio for Peace International, a very noble, progressive effort in international broadcasting." Standard disclaimer, we're in the midst of World of Radio number 1436. Much more at our website, especially if you access the archive of DX Listening Digests upon which this program is based, worldofradio.org. Your contributions always welcome to WORADIO at yahoo.com or P.O. Box 1684 ENID OK 73702 USA. Of particular interest to shortwave listeners should be this week's Frontline on PBS, first airing Tuesday evening, November 25th. It's about Hugo Chavez and his Alo Presidente show. If it's too late to see that, as it probably is as you hear me now, look for repeats later in the week from your PBS station or possibly online. Alo Presidente, meanwhile, was supposedly going to resume following Venezuela's elections November 23rd, so look for it again Sunday morning, November 30th, via Cuba, starting at 1400 on frequencies such as 13750. There's a new time signal station from Brazil on 10 megahertz. Marcelo Begeni in Paraná was hearing Observatorio Nacional Rio de Janeiro November 23rd at 1807 on 10,000 kilohertz, announcing the time in Portuguese, of course, every 10 seconds, I believe it is. This is not in any of the listings, although I seem to recall years ago there were shortwave time signals from Brazil. Apparently they've been resumed, and there are many other reports of this following in the Deixe Clube Paraná Yahoo group, as well as the Rádio Escutas Yahoo group, both from Brazil. The website of the National Observatory in Rio so far has not been found to say anything about the new shortwave broadcasts, and we're not positive they're on exactly 10,000 kilohertz. There was one report that they were actually on 9999. That could well be the case. U.S. standard frequency and time signal stations are always on exactly 5, 10, 15 megahertz, etc. But actually there is a 10 kilohertz wide band surrounding these frequencies, and stations in other countries are often slightly off, notably those in Russia, and maybe this one too, from Brazil. Mark Schiefelbein in Missouri was looking for it. Of course, we hear mostly WWV on the frequency. He says he was able to get a carrier on 9999 the past few evenings. So listen carefully, and if you hear some time announcements in Portuguese, you've probably got the new station in Brazil. We mentioned before that one of the broadcasters in Rio, Radio Globo, nominal 11805, has been putting out spurs far from its frequency, and it's getting worse and worse. Jorge Freitas in Bahia, in the Paraná DX Club, says it was putting out a spur on around 11920 kHz, thus interfering with two other Brazilian stations on 11915 and 11925. And even worse than that, Adalberto Marques de Azevedo in Minas Gerais was hearing it on 13695 with a program called Quintal da Globo. That was colliding at the moment with Radio France International at 1700 UT. Furthermore, the mother country, Portugal, has also been putting out spurs. I was hearing matching spurs, quite distorted, on 15858 and 15522, November 25th at 1530. They were both coming out of the much stronger transmitter on 15690 of RDP Internacional. And at that hour, on Tuesday at 1530, they were playing their Caixa Postal DX program, which is a new time for that. It had been scheduled Mondays at 14:18, although their scheduling may change from week to week. We'll see if that new time keeps up. Paul Brulet in Illinois says he was trying to listen to Radio Slovakia International. They have only one English broadcast in North America on one frequency, and that is at 0100 on 7230. However, on November 22nd, he says it was tough copy, very weak and noisy. The parallel frequency, which is for South America, 9440, was barely audible at all. Well, it seems to us that Slovakia needs to rethink its North American service, such as adding a morning day path broadcast, which the Czechs do quite successfully, or even a relay. Another station with reception problems in Europe is IRRS, which carries World of Radio, Fridays at 20:30 UT on 7290, which we appreciate very much. However, Harry Brooks in Northeast England says he was trying to listen to that on November 21st. And besides the adjacent channel interference from China on 7285, there was also Russian on 7290 itself. As we've mentioned, the Voice of Russia is scheduled during that entire transmission on the same frequency. Alfredo Cotroneo of IRRS explains that there are just not any free frequencies available and they're having to put up with it. But as a matter of fact, the transmission of IRRS is not intended for Northwest Europe, but instead for Africa and the Middle East, where he thinks reception is better with less interference from Russia. Will F. in Pennsylvania tells us, Murray Hall restated on Austrian radio that as things stand now, all English from ORF will end as of December 31st. On previous mailbox programs, he emphasized that when he says all English, that includes over-the-air, internet text, and audio. No more English content. So unless plans change, I would guess that the early morning English newscast on OE1, along with the French bit, will disappear at the same time as a report from Austria. That is around 0705 UT on 6155. He also mentioned that they'll be doing the annual holiday postbox program as usual, and it will probably be the final postbox program ever. Andy Sennett says there are obviously some shortwave changes planned from 1 January, as the schedule currently on their website is dated to end 31 December. What Murray Hall said is in line with what I was told in a private conversation with Wolf Harant some weeks ago. It's unlikely the plans will change, as this is a cost-saving measure, and presumably the budget for 2009 has already been fixed. By the way, there is a separate story that Austrian domestic broadcasting, ORF that is facing drastic budget cuts as well. On the other hand, Kai Ludwig thinks that the little English newscast relayed from the domestic service is not likely to be terminated. And John Filiozzi points out that the FM4 network of ORF has some English language content worth investigating online. It's fm4.orf.at. The relays of RTA Algeria via France had been mostly their Holy Quran network. However, some other Arabic programming is now being heard, and DX Mix News in Bulgaria gives this schedule, which they say is not the Holy Quran network from Algeria, although you might hear Quran here and there. Here's the B08 schedule, all via the Issoudun France site, 500 kilowatts at 162 or 194 degrees and valid through the end of February only. I'll round off the times. Actually, they end 3 minutes before the hour. 04 to 07, 5865. 18 to 20, 9390. 19 to 22, 7455. And 21 to 23, notice the overlap, 5865. In Japan Premium, Koji Hashimoto reports an unexpected new frequency for those relays back to Liberia and Sierra Leone of Star Radio and Cotton Tree News via Ascension between 07 and 08 UT. They'd been putting in quite a good signal even here on 9525, but that's gone. And he says the new frequencies he's hearing, although I can't hear it yet, is 11875. CommanderElliot.com refers to the Ethiopian Review of November 20th, an article about more jamming by Ethiopia. The dictatorship has jammed a program broadcast by the Genbot 7 Movement for Freedom and Democracy. That is, at 17 to 1730 UT via Russia on 12120 and 15350. DX Mix News in Bulgaria and Eric Joe, quoting the TDP schedule, say that it's only on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And furthermore, the lower frequency 12120 collides with Radio Liberty in Georgian. The Ethiopian Review article cites some rather extravagant figures. I wonder how they came up with them. They say that Voice of America, which has also been jammed in Amharic, can up its power to 100 megawatts per frequency when supplemented with powerful antennas. That must be referring to theoretical effective radiated power. And it costs up to $10,000 per kilowatt to jam a radio program. Torsten Hallmann in Germany of Africa List says it seems that since about the 7th or 8th of November, the radio wars around 7,100 and 8,000 kilohertz suddenly stopped. Not much heard from Eritrea since. Radio Ethiopia is acting quite normally. However, Jari Savolainen in Finland discovered something from the Horn of Africa on 6889.3, finally identified as Radio Fana, Ethiopia, at 1500 UT November 25th, parallel to 6110. He wonders if they've moved out of band or if it's operating as a jammer against something else. Mauno Ritola monitored them all the way until sign-off at 2056. Chris Janssen in Belgium of the Radio Damascus Listeners Club is happy to report on November 25th that they finally put their English program on the Internet after a few weeks of having the daily German program online. Of course, it's very difficult to hear them on shortwave because of their poor modulation and or poor signal and or interference on 9330. He says there's not yet a link on the home page of Syrian Radio and TV to the audio, but he discovered it somehow. www.rtv.gov.sy/index.php?m=541 will get you to the daily recordings. Supratik Sanatani in India tells us that Radio Pilipinas from Manila, English broadcast at 0200-0330, is on new 17770, although they're still announcing the abandoned frequency, 15510. Parallel 11880, and the other one almost unusable because of Chinese interference, 15285. They have an exotic announcement saying, the Overseas Service of Philippines Broadcasting Corporation, broadcasting from the Presidential Palace in Manila, Philippines. I noticed in the latest revision of Radio New Zealand International schedule via DX Mix News in Bulgaria that the powers indicated are all 50 kilowatts for the AM transmissions and 25 kilowatts for DRM, even though their two transmitters are rated at 100 kilowatts. So that may explain why their signals have seemed weaker lately on AM. They apparently are running at half power. Harry Brooks in England says he's hearing World of Radio Saturdays at 17:30 on 12160, starting off well, although it may fade out before the half hour is over. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued November 25th. A and K indices peaking at 15 and 4 December 5th, 10 and 3 on December 22nd, otherwise mostly 5 and 2. Solar flux fluctuating slightly between 68 and 70 with a little peak on December 8th and 9th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 1436 and inviting you back next week.